Hey guys, welcome back to another Horror, Wine, and Crime episode with KK and Lo. We are coming at you live from our homes, separately.
There's a big dramatic entrance.
Yeah, it was probably the most awkward intro I've ever had, but my brain kind of froze.
It's all right. We're awkward and we own it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you guys won't hear this until Monday, but it's day one of election is over and Trump will be our new president, old president, renewed president again.
I liked the explanation.
45 and 47.
Yep, this... to the day that we're recording this is when the news broke and everybody is screaming their opinions online.
You know, I'm not over the moon. I'm not crying in tears. I am okay.
Yep.
This is what it is. And I'm not mad. I'm a little disappointed in America in general about some of the reactions that I'm reading, some of the things that appear. I literally just read something that I've seen online where I just told Kay people are trying to recruit John Hinckley Jr. They're saying, we need you again. Come on, we got a job for you. That is so terrible.
Yep. Like I don't care seriously. I don't care like what, you know, side you're on or whatever. I just, they're like, come on, people. Like, that's a little far.
I got friends that are Democrats. I got friends that are Republican. I got friends that are probably liberal. I got friends that are everything. And I don't fucking care. Like,
yeah.
I so far have not lost friends over political stuff. And I'm kind of happy that my circle of friends are kind of mature about it. But come on, people. Like, is it really worth losing a friend over?
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to It's not going to change the world. Trump's not going to resign because people are losing friends.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy how many people have lost people over that in the past.
Don't talk about it then.
Right. Easy, yeah, exactly. Yep. Lemon squeezy.
No shit. Let's see what else. Oh, my new binge that's not horror or crime related because, you know, balance. I am obsessed with Emily in Paris. I'm already on season 3, I think.
I watched the first 2 seasons of it when they first came out, so it's been a minute, but I have not watched the 3rd season.
Okay. I think I'm in season 3, I think. I don't even know how many there are, but so I'm into it though.
Yeah, I remember liking it. Honestly, I kind of forgot that it existed until you just talked about it now because it's been so long since I watched them.
I like her. I like how like nothing just bothers her.
I know, she's just so peppy.
Yes, and I love her bestie. She's so cool.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, I'm going to need to, thanks for the reminder, Lo. I'm going to need to get back into season 3 of it because I remember I did like that show. It's just been so long.
Let's see what else. I watched Woman of the Hour. Did you finish?
No. Oh my gosh. See, my freaking memory. I forgot about that too. I watched most of it, but I fell asleep.
This is why Crystal shows up to our show.
Literally, I'm like, oh yeah, I have to do that. Oh yeah, there's this thing.
I want to go do her show so Lo can remind me on all the good shows that we have to watch.
I need to start writing them down. It's honestly what I need to do. But yeah, I watched like probably 80% of it and then I fell asleep like towards the end. So I need to finish that.
I will say the end of it was kind of like abrupt. Like this happened and then you're like, oh, sweet. And then it was like boom, boom, end. And you're like, oh, okay.
You're like, oh, that escalated quickly.
But it was good. I mean, it was a good, interesting watch, you know. I love Anna Kendrick. I just want to carry her around in my pocket.
I know. Yeah. I love everything that she's in.
She won me over at Pitch Perfect.
Oh, how could she not?
And then I really liked her in the one she did with Blake Lively. Was it Simple Favor? Yes. Or
yep, that was it.
Or The Favor or A Favor or something.
A Simple Favor.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a really good one. I actually just watched that not too long ago.
I always joke with my cousin because there's a meme or like a reel or something. And it's like a mom taking a picture of their daughter. But it's Blake Lively's voice from the movie. Did you just take a picture of me? Delete it. Delete it now.
I've heard that before.
That's like my daughter every time. Did you just take a snap? You better not post that. Bitch, I pay for your phone. I post what I want.
Right? That's so funny. I started watching on Netflix. There's two of them. So one of them is called The Worst Ex Ever, which I haven't finished yet.
Yes, we talked about that because I told you I started and you're like, oh, my mom was watching that.
Yes. Yep. So I started that. And then we just finished The Worst Roommate Ever.
Okay. I didn't do that one yet. Some of the
stories are crazy.
I did watch. I didn't finish because I had to take off. This is an episode on things that we watch that we don't finish.
I know, literally. Something's wrong with us.
The Steve McNair documentary.
Okay.
He was a football player. Him and his girlfriend were found murdered in his apartment.
Ooh, I'll have to watch that.
So I have to finish it and see how it plays out. I think he's still dead, but we'll see.
Ooh, still dead, question or not.
That kind of fell flat, meaning I didn't finish it, but he's probably still.
No. I was like, is there a twist? I was like, was he actually not dead? Is there a twist to the story?
I'm feeling tomatoes being thrown at me right now.
No, I'm sorry. I'm at the beginning stages of a cold, so my mental is even less here than it normally is. So that's my bad, guys. Luckily, Lo's the one telling the story today and not me.
It's not a long one. It's a little bit of, I mean, there's some dark in it, but there's some stuff that you're probably going to like laugh and be like, what the fuck? But it's really not a laughing matter, but you can't help but think like, what? Like, are you punking me? But this is all going to be true.
Yeah, I feel like we, you know, we laugh at situations and stories that we've told that are like, you know, just like parts of them that were kind of like, what the heck? Because we like to make some light of terrible situations.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited. And by the title alone, I know nothing of this, so I'm going to be listening with you guys. But by the title alone, I'm intrigued because I'm a fan of something in the title. Not either. Doing it, just like
it could be a Mark, it could be a John, or it could be a catfish. I don't know.
I'm gonna keep you guys guessing.
But she likes one of them. Okay, well then I guess without further ado, I will get into the story because now everybody's on pins and needles wanting to know what the hell we're talking about.
I know, right? I'm excited too.
Now that Crystal pumped it up.
I'm the hype girl this episode.
So if you didn't catch it, Mark, John, and a catfish. My creative title ring.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Sorry, I'm knocking stuff over off my desk.
Nope, you're good. You're getting our nerves all amped up and ready to go.
Right? Okay, so this one is called Mark, John, and a Catfish. Because the names are not the real names, this is what the media used, so it's just Mark and John. That's what we know. They're minors, so they had to use fake names.
Makes sense.
So we're going to go back into like early 2000s. So Crystal is just probably like just starting to get like hyped up in her teens, right?
Well, depends on the year, I guess. Early 2000s, I was like five.
Oh, okay. Well, I underestimated your age.
I had the angstiness brewing up in me at five, though. I was just, I
Okay, so
feel
this
like
is
I was
2002.
okay. Yeah. So I was like seven.
Okay, so then you're not going to be at this level quite yet then. So Mark's parents purchased him a computer in 2002. And he's an only child, and he was really has no room to complain, okay? His parents took care of him, they're working class. He didn't have any room for complaints. They thought, okay, he gets good grades, he's a good kid. So they bought him a computer and they thought this is going to be great. He's going to use this to do homework on and it's going to be so much more easier. But that's what we tell ourselves as parents. Let's be serious. So, like, I just bought my daughter a Mac Pro thinking it's going to be cool. It'll be easier for her to take it to school when I'm going to go in her room right now and she's going to be snapping, texting on it, and watching Netflix is the reality.
You're right.
But back then, there wasn't Netflix and snapping and texting. This was good old-fashioned chat rooms. We could make our own CDs, which was the bomb diggity. Okay.
Oh, I did that. I did that.
So we're like, thank you, Napster, for a minute, but LiveWire kept it going.
That's where I was at.
But that would have even been like later 2000s. This was early 2000s. So we're talking like dial up, waiting to connect. You've got mail.
Right. The good old days.
So most kids, when they had a computer, they had it at their disposal and it was in their bedrooms. They would be chatting, talking to whoever's in the chat rooms. I dabbled a little bit. I dabbled. Okay. Like we all done it.
Oh, yeah, been there.
And you could be any age you want, any sex you want, any location you want. You can have any name you want. It was quite dangerous, but like, our parents, they really didn't know nothing about nothing because it was all new. So they're like, whatever.
Right.
But it could be a pretty dangerous place, especially for like children and teenagers. Well, Mark, like any teenager at the time, he would meet people in chat rooms and then he would decide if he wanted to continue talking to them or not. You could exchange the information, like I said. You could go to Instant Messenger, or this I never heard of, but they used it a lot. It's called you could whisper in a chat room, which I guess is like a pop-up box, which I guess makes it a private room. I never heard of it called whispering, but that's the title that they use when they say whispering.
Okay. When you first said whisper, I got really like grossed out because I thought it was like you actually like would whisper back and forth with each other. And I'm like, ew.
That would be so annoying.
So annoying, yet also so creepy.
Yeah, like pillow talk.
Yeah. Different kind of chat room there.
Hey, 16F, what's your sign?
How's it going? Where are you from?
Oh my gosh. So Mark was a typical 16-year-old boy. He was hoping to score a chat room with cool, hot girls, And it was easier to talk to girls behind a screen. So he would sit in Manchester. There's also a site, Manchester Local Teens Chat Room. And that's the one that he would go into quite a bit. And he would just wait for girls' usernames to pop up. Now, in February of 2003, Rachel underscore West popped up into a room as 16F Manchester. She uploaded a picture of herself. She was a pretty teen girl with long blonde hair, and she and Mark began, they began whispering pretty quickly. And Which again is basically like sliding into each other's DMs. Or these days texting, snapping, but on the computer. Pretty quickly, they started talking regularly. He would sit at his computer and he would just wait for her name to pop up in the chat room. After a couple of days, another new name entered the chat room and his name was John. Now, John was Rachel's younger brother. He was only 14. He and Rachel were stepbrother and sister. Mark was really eager to befriend John because he was falling in love with his sister. They would stay up late chatting into the night about their feelings, sometimes getting a little heated. You know, he was really eager to meet Rachel in real life, but her schedule was just so busy. They couldn't find time that worked for both of them. But he was even willing to skip school, okay? He's like, I will not go to school if that's what it takes, but I want to meet you. John and Mark, however, began talking, playing games together. John had a webcam, which was pretty cool, so they could see each other. Unfortunately, Rachel did not, though. But the boys, they became close friends. They talked about movies, football games, all the nerdy things that boys nerd out on. Mark and John and Rachel spent hours in the Manchester teen chat room. Mark eventually got the guts to tell Rachel that he loved her, and she even said it back. But it's still at this point, they'd never met, not yet. And it just seemed like things were not lining up for them. John and Mark, however, were hanging out regularly. John and his stepfather, they didn't exactly get along, which, I mean, he was a good kid. He got amazing grades. He did what he was told. So he was just like, you know, whatever. Maybe his stepdad was just a dick. I don't know. Unfortunately, in the real world, he was bullied pretty constantly. Kids would call him a terrorist. He had a small stature. He had a lot of friends that were girls, which led those bullies to call him gay, which I'm like, dude, he's getting all the attention of the girls. So I feel like he's doing something right. So
they were just jealous.
I don't know why you're bullying them for that, but you know.
Right. They should have, if they were smart, they would have befriended him so then they could get close with the girls too. Duh.
Yeah. See, bullies are dumb.
They really are.
It was quite different for Mark. He was very large, brawny. He was a brawny. Brawny, 16-year-old. And they only lived a couple of miles apart from each other. And it's now April of 2003, and a new user popped up into the Manchester Teens chat, and his name is Kevin. Now, Kevin said that he was gay. He wrote only in pink font. He wanted everybody to know that he was a for real stalker and he had a foot fetish.
Wow, what a statement. I did not see it heading there.
I love the only in pink font, and I like feet.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Kevin, show up.
Right? We see you, clearly.
We see you, Kevin.
So Kevin showed up in chat rooms, and he was very flamboyant. He was very open about that from the get-go. He wanted everybody to know. John and Rachel both told Mark that Kevin had started to kind of threaten him, though, a little bit. And Kevin allegedly had followed John home and sent proof in the mail that he was stalking him. Mark tried to reassure his friends that, you know what, he's probably not even that dangerous. He's just being stupid, like, seriously. But Kevin started sending Mark details of his life that only John or Rachel could have known. Kevin demanded that Mark show him his feet and masturbate on camera for him, or he would kidnap and rape Rachel.
Damn.
Yeah, it got dark kind of fast. Sorry, creepies. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, we got dark real fast. Like, okay, Kevin, I'm no longer enthused by you.
Not that I Although he's a big, pink, flamboyant gay guy, but he's going to rape Rachel. So, I mean, okay.
Jeez.
So Kevin said, hey, You need to show me your feet and masturbate on camera for me, or I'm going to kidnap and rape your girlfriend. So Mark messaged her and said what Kevin told him. And he said, I'm willing to do this for you just to ensure your safety. And she told him, you definitely do not have to do that for me. But he said he loved her and he would do whatever he needed to do to keep her safe. So Mark went on camera and did exactly what Kevin had demanded him to do. Afterward, Rachel finally agreed to meet up with him. They set up a meeting. They picked a place. And nervously, Mark went there to meet the girl that he was in love with, except she didn't show up. When he returned home, after waiting hours, he found no messages, no emails, nothing to explain what had happened. Instead, what he found shocked him and horrified him. Kevin had emailed him every detail of her gang rape and murder at the hands of him and his friends. The email read that they had all kicked her in the stomach and they had put her head underwater and there was some blood stains on Kevin's sheets.
Oh my gosh, what in the heck?
Mark hadn't been there for her as she screamed for him and he is just devastated and he is heartbroken. Mark felt like he couldn't go to the police. He couldn't tell his parents. Instead, he just spiraled into depression. His grades dropped. Like, life just was not great for him right now.
Why didn't he want to go to the police? Was it because he didn't want to tell them that he, like, did that stuff on camera, maybe?
Probably. I mean, how do you tell the police, like, I'm in a chat room. Talking to this girl. I did this because I was trying to protect her, but now this happened. I don't know. Maybe he felt like nobody would believe him or he didn't. Maybe he was scared of what Kevin would do. I don't know.
Right. Oh, that's so sad. Poor kid.
He didn't want to watch sports with his dad like he normally did. He blamed himself for Rachel's death. And John was grieving too, because stepsister. The two spoke over the webcam occasionally, but Mark was making less and less contact with John. And John was like, man, I'm really worried about you. But he just brushed it off saying, you know, don't be worried. I'm just tired. The situation did not turn Mark away from the chat rooms, though. He continued to log on to them pretty regularly, back to the Manchester teens, and began once again talking to girls. So he was sad, but apparently not that sad. You know what I'm saying?
He could still move on, you know.
So he started striking up a friendship with a girl named Lindsay East. Lindsay and Mark met in the chat room and they started talking as she would listen to him talk about the loss of his girlfriend. She was a couple years older, but they were getting closer. They were becoming great friends. She would help him work through the murder of his girlfriend. But over time, Lindsay revealed that she was a junior Secret Service agent working for the British Intelligence Service.
WTF.
I know. Like, what?
okay.
Lindsay told Mark, you can't tell anyone, but I'm a junior Secret Service agent. And Mark did keep her secret. As a matter of fact, he didn't tell anyone. And as they continued to chat, Lindsay admitted that she was falling in love with him. So after they began to talk for a while, after that, they began to perform sex acts on the webcam for her. So he's like, obviously he's comfortable with that now. So again, let's be clear. It's been like 1 month, his girlfriend died and you're already dropping the I love yous and, you know, sexting, so to speak, back then, you know, through camera.
Mark didn't waste no time. He wasted no time.
And Lindsay told him the main reason she joined the chat room was because of him. Like, she was in love with him. Now, his friend John was under the protection of government because John had been Kevin McGregor's target. Lindsay believed that Mark could help her track down the stalker that had murdered his girlfriend, Rachel. But unfortunately, from our history, a very short history, but history is about to repeat itself. Because on April 23rd, 2003, Lindsay was killed in a dangerous mission.
Dude.
Lindsay had sent him a post-dated email that he should receive in the event if she was killed in a line of duty. And the email dictated that Mark, if Mark was to receive it, it meant that she was dead and that she had failed her mission to protect John, but Mark should continue to protect him. So in less than 2 months, two girlfriends died in less than a few months of each other. Well, actually like a month of each other. Actually,
what in the hell? I have watched too many episodes of Catfish to not know some real fishies going on here.
What do we say? Fishy, 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 fishy.
Ding, ding, ding.
And Mark has still told no one. He's like keeping this all bottled up, right? Well, you really won't have any words because a week later, Rachel reappeared in the chat room and Mark was ecstatic. But her story confused him because she claimed that she had been held captive while she was in a coma and had given birth to Mark's baby.
The plot thickens. My brain can't.
And you're like, how? Like, right? That's what you're thinking. Like, how is that possible? They never even met.
Immaculate conception.
So there's like, no way that's true, he's thinking. So even though Mark, sweet, sweet little slow on the go Mark, he was in full on line. He's all in and he's like all about this relationship. But he was also like, I don't know what you're saying.
This doesn't make sense.
And then Rachel disappeared again. He was so confused. He'd been sworn to secrecy by Lindsay, so he couldn't even tell his best friend, John, about the troubling things he had just learned. Could you go on, John? So, like, your sister died, but then she came back. She had my baby, but she disappeared. But then I was talking to Lindsay, who's in the Secret Service, who's here to protect you. But then she was murdered, and you're still in trouble, and I don't know how to protect you.
No wonder he didn't tell anybody. He would end up in a freaking psych ward.
Maybe not go into chat rooms, my dude. Maybe take a time out.
Yeah, he needs a little break from it.
So two girlfriends dead in a couple of weeks. But no, Mark did not leave the Manchester teen chat room. He's like, I'm going back in, dude. Like,
wow, Mark really believes in love.
So now we meet Janet Dobinson. Janet only spoke in cap lock. She told everyone that she was in her 40s and she was still married, but she was hot. And apparently she said it very loudly because it's all cap locks.
She's screaming in everything that she says. She's very enthusiastic.
I am an adult and I am hot, but I'm married, but I'm still hot.
I am 40, but I am in the teen chat room.
Yeah. So, and this is kind of a little outrageous, but you know, okay. But Janet needed a special person. She's looking for that really, really special person. That special person is Mark.
Of course it's Mark. It's always Mark.
Janet told Mark that she was a senior member of the British Secret Service.
Lots of Secret Service people on these chat rooms.
And her cover job was an estate agent, but she had the freedom to travel. So, maybe Mark's a little naive. He's heard a lot of stuff the last couple of months. I don't know, like another secret agent? Like, this is like a thing, right? Like, okay, it's kind of weird, but I'm intrigued. Fuck it. So, he wanted to hear what Janet had to say. She explained that M16 was testing Mark to ensure that he could keep a secret. And now that they had seen that his contact with Lindsay, they were certain that he could. And the UK Secret Intelligence Service wanted to recruit him. and they were going to be paying him millions of pounds. They spoke about this for hours until Mark was thoroughly convinced that he was going to have to go to London, meet important people, including the Queen and the Prime Minister, so they could debrief him on his mission. There he would be briefed about how to address the Queen. And he's excited. He's like, oh, shit. Okay. Like, but he's also concerned because, like, I don't know, Mom doesn't like me missing school. But, I mean, it's the Queen. And Janet assured him that his mother would be totally informed of the progress and she'd be allowed to talk to him. She'd get 2 phone calls during the day and, like, everything would be okay. She continued to say, listen, at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, there's an enormous safe that has 568 billion pounds in it of gold and jewelry. Only the Queen of England has the combination and the ability to open that safe. But she can't go to the bottom of the ocean. She's the queen. So she had to entrust the code to only one other person. And this person is a teenager named James Bell.
What in the Nicolas Cage plotline story is this?
She says Nicolas Cage.
What the hell?
So only he can walk through that door. Now, Jen explained that this is only half of what James can do. So, like, this is important, okay? More information will be revealed in time. But, Mark, you have to accept the mission. And after receiving the details of James's location, you'll be shocked and, you know, to discover that, I'm sorry, after finding out the location, he was shocked to discover that James Bell was really no other than his best friend, John. I had to give it a second because I can't see Crystal. I can only hear her right now. So
I have a dumbfounded look on my face.
So I have to give her time to let this marinate because I know she's over there like.
What? Oh, it's marinating. My brain has exploded about 10 minutes ago.
So this is going to be like an easy mission, okay? Because like you like hanging out with John. You guys are friends already. You're just two boys doing the, you know, boy things, nerding out. But when John's mom found out that he was hanging out with someone from the internet, she was like, oh, no, absolutely not. This isn't a thing. I want to meet the mom. So the moms meet up and they're like, okay, so your kid isn't secretly 46 years old trying to lure my teenage to his death. So, okay, they're both boys. Okay, you know, carry on. The moms bonded about how their sons were addicted to the internet and how they were nerds and they were probably trying to get girls. When I say this, I somehow said it in like a Beavis and Butthead voice. Like, yeah, they're trying to get girls.
Oh my gosh.
And they revealed that, you know, they were friends in real life. They could hang out. They didn't live far from each other. So maybe this wouldn't be such a bad idea, you know. And then they wouldn't be on the internet as much if they can hang out in person. It'd give them a little bit of freedom. Mark took this new job, though, as the Secret Service agent very seriously. He reported all of the happenings with John back to Janet. And he would tell Janet everything and all the times that and all the things that he observed. And the Secret Service agents were going to ensure him that his job was being done correctly. And she would include details about where to meet John and everything that he's done and has been doing. And it's just been so good. He's doing a good job, Mark. Janet explained that his next task was to get James Bell, a.k.a. Mark. I'm sorry, John. So you got to get him out of school. Without raising suspicion, this is like a matter of national security, Mark. You have to carry out a sex act on John. And Mark was like, dude, like, why do I have to do that? I don't understand. But Jenna told them it had to be done. And if it wasn't, they would both lose their jobs at the Secret Service.
Mark, sweet, sweet Mark, please, please redeem yourself from here. I'm really praying right now.
So he was able to get John out of school by convincing the office that he was there to take him to a dentist appointment as a favor to his mom. But John's school did call his mom and say, hey, some kid just picked up your kid to take him out of school for the day. And she was frustrated. She was like, the fuck? So she was like, I'm going to go look at his computer and see what he's been up to. Being nosy mom stuff, right? And when she checked on his computer, she saw all his chat logs with people. One of them was Mark, but among other one was Janet. So she went to Mark's house and demanded to speak to his parents. And John's mom explained that he'd been talking to this woman who said she was a secret agent and that they needed to review Mark's messages to see what they would find. They needed to find the correspondence. And they found Janet as well. So now all the parents are like, okay, they set the boys down. They're like, you guys, this is dangerous. These people aren't who they say they are online. Neither of you are allowed to speak to this woman under any circumstance. However, they're teenagers. They don't give a shit what their parents say. Telling them what to do is actually like, we're going to just do the opposite. But whatever. And then again, they started speaking to Janet pretty quickly again. To complete the mission, John and Mark hung out, and Mark did perform oral sex on John. So obviously, Jen's like, okay. And he reported back to Janet. She congratulated him on his progress and informed him that he was definitely working for the Secret Service now. Janet asked him one important question. Would you be able to kill someone? Just in case. It might be a test for later on, but I need to know. And Mark was unsure at first, but it didn't take long for him to decide, yeah, I could do it. If it came down to it, I could kill someone. Could you kill somebody close to you? And this was the answer that Janet was hoping for when he said yes, because she reported that James Bell has an inoperable tumor. And Mark's first official mission as an agent was to kill him before the tumor did. In return for his kill, he would be paid 80 million pounds. And that wasn't what Mark was expecting, though. He thought he'd be killing bad guys, not his best friend. And he was still a little uncertain, but after a couple of days, John reported to Mark that he had gotten a letter from his doctor confirming that he did have a brain tumor. On July 28, 2003, Mark was given his Secret Service number by Janet. He was told that the spies acted out with emotion and that it was important that after he stabbed James Bell, that he should say, trust me, as he died.
Okay, I take back the Nicolas Cage thing and I'm changing it to like the most dramatic soap opera I've ever heard of in my life. Continue. Okay.
John then called and the two agreed to meet next Sunday, June 29th, to go shopping and then hang out. Pretty much all day of Saturday, Mark and Janet were chatting. He was obviously a little unsure of how to do this, but he truly believed that working for the Secret Service, he had a job and he had to carry it out. He went to buy a knife. He was told to wear gloves. He was told to take John to a quiet place and carry out the job. Janet specifically told Mark to tell John, I love you, but this has to be done. After he'd stabbed John, he was to wait for help to come. And Janet assured him that she would be the first one on the scene, disguised as an officer, to ensure that he wasn't going to be arrested. Around 10 p.m., that night before, Janet told Mark not to wear the gloves. Instead, she told him to pull the knife out when he was done and tell the police that the knife that had his fingerprints on it, only because he pulled it out of his friend's. Janet let him know that there was an abort code, and that code was 6969. And that it could be heard from anywhere, probably over some kind of speaker. But if they heard that code, he should stop the plan to kill John immediately. The next day, the boys met at Trafford Center. Mark withdrew some cash and told John that he needed to buy a kitchen knife. John helped him pick out a 6-inch knife. They shopped around the area, and Mark was clearly nervous, but trying to brush it off. So they went to lunch at McDonald's. And as it got later, he realized that he was being watched, and eventually he was going to have to complete this mission. He thought maybe he would take John out into the woods, but if they called the abort code, he'd miss it. So they started to walk back to an empty alley and presented the opportunity that he's been waiting for. Once they were in the alley, Mark pulled out the knife and told John, "I love you, bro," before stabbing him directly into his chest. John screamed and told him to call an ambulance. He said that he had killed him. And at this moment, Mark realized he was probably going to have to stab him again. So he pulled him into a big embrace and stabbed him 2 more times, piercing him both in the kidney and in his liver. And then he sat and waited for Janet to come save him. But like Lindsay and Rachel, Janet did not show up. She told him to call an ambulance, but not right away. So he thought maybe she was waiting for him to call an ambulance so she could hear the call go through. He stepped out of the alley. He dialed the emergency number. He told them that his mate had been stabbed, and he gave him the location. John was still alive at this time, but he was dying. The police arrived, and Mark told them that the man wearing all black with a black hat and attacked him and his friend, and they even reported it to, like, the media, so, like, the UK of TMZ, I guess. The news reported that there had been an unprovoked street attack that left a teenage boy near death. People were, like, calling in with tips. They were saying that they seen this man. There were sightings everywhere that matched the description. And John, well, he was able to go to the hospital. He did die twice on the operating table, but the doctors were able to stabilize him, and he was in the ICU for quite a while, but he was going to pull through. He's going to be okay. When police went back to find evidence, they reviewed, like, footage and cameras from that day, and Mark and John had walked into the alley until about 25 minutes later when Mark reemerged to dial 999. Now, Mark was arrested and charged with attempt of murder because the videos showed that they were the only two in that alley. Nobody else was around, dude. So, didn't think that part through. Where's Janet?
Janet did not come in clutch for him.
Oh my God. Did you watch
Good Place?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I was thinking too.
Anytime they say Janet, I think of this little robot, like,
just popping up.
Right. So he refused bail and he was placed in a juvenile detention facility. He denied stabbing John. And then when John was stable enough to report the stabbing, he also denied that Mark did it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that was all until the police showed them the footage. You know, they maintained that, you know, he didn't do it. Like, but then finally he's like, okay, yes, Mark stabbed me. Really? Duh.
Obviously.
So Mark was interviewed again and told the police that he heard voices telling him to do it. He was concerned that if he told them about Janet and the Secret Service, that he's not going to be able to keep his job or get the money. And he was certain that Janet was going to arrive any day to save him, and he's going to be released.
Mark, I have lost every single last remaining ounce of respect that I had for you. Gone.
Respect non-existent. Or hope or...
Yeah, just any positive thought.
Once again, Janet did not arrive. It was about a month later, Mark would finally reveal the story to the police. And he said he was just waiting for this person to show up and save him. After spilling all the details, the police did go and take his computer. They confiscated like everything and they reviewed everything in hopes that they could find who this Janet lady is. And in doing so, they did a criminal analysis. Sally Hogg went through more than 100 gigs of data, and it was all mostly from the Manchester Teens chat room where Mark's hard drive was at. They spoke with 193 separate email addresses. Initially, while trying to unravel the story, investigators thought that it was a ring of pedophiles and they were trying to groom these teenage boys and manipulate them into doing all these acts on camera. Police even arrested a woman with the same name because she owned one of those email accounts, but then it come to find out that her email had just been hacked and she was totally innocent. They noticed a typo that five of six people were using. So Mark was regularly talking to these people and the word maybe was spelled, but it was spelled M-Y-B-Y-E. So that was kind of like a little red flag. And maybe it was spelled like, I feel like with a British accent or something. Or just somebody who's just kind of ignorant who might spell something the way it sounds. I don't know. But investigators, in their mind, they're like, okay, this is like, something's not right. And Mark had been talking to one person, but they didn't really think initially, like, no, maybe, I don't know. So they got John's computer and confiscated his. And when I tell you an alarming discovery was made, okay, are you ready for this, Kay?
I know what's about to happen.
Yeah?
I think so.
Okay. 3 months after the arrests, Mark's still in detention, you know, the center, waiting for Janet. Today's the day. The tank is clean.
And, he has so much hope. I'll give him that.
So Janet's username and password had been logged into her account on John's laptop at his house.
Knew it.
After reviewing every computer in John's house, they realized the last time that Janet had spoken to Mark, it was from John's house while John himself was home alone. So when the police confronted him, they were absolutely revealed that he was Janet, but he was also Lindsay and he was also Rachel.
I freaking knew it. What a psycho. He wanted him to kill him? Like, what the fuck?
So creating these personas, it made him feel good and powerful. And like he started talking to Mark and they became friends. And then Mark wanted to talk to girls. So I don't know if it was a jealousy thing or what it was. So he invented Rachel. And by making Rachel, by making himself Rachel's brother, he found that Mark actually wanted to be friends with him. But he couldn't tell Mark that he tricked them into masturbating on camera and showing his feet because he was also Kevin. Mark liked Rachel more than he liked John. So John killed Rachel off using Kevin. but needed to create a new female character to make sure that Mark stayed in the chat room. And then this way John could still talk to him, but he lived in constant fear that Mark was going to catch on eventually. And I'm not so sure Mark was going to catch on.
Yeah, Mark really wasn't a super quick on his thinking, I don't think. He's still waiting for Janet.
Right. So frequently, he was pretty shocked. He couldn't believe some of the stuff that had been said. But investigators said that, you know what? Your friend's pretty smart. I'll give him that, because every conversation was different. Everyone had a different personality. Everybody had a different niche, or what do they call it?
Different niche.
Yeah. And they really believed like all these people were really different. Like, but John was just like getting sick and tired, and it took a toll on him. He became suicidal. So he planned his own murder and manipulated his friend to doing it. John was arrested and charged for inciting his own murder, which is the first and only time that charge has ever gone down in history.
I was going to say, very weird circumstances in that case.
Mark had been in juvenile detention for 8 months, and he still believed that maybe he might be rescued.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't until John was arrested after the 8 months later that he learned all those things, all those people, everything that was created specifically to manipulate him. So he's just sitting there thinking, like, all this stuff happened. Nothing was real. My two online girlfriends had been murdered or killed. It wasn't even real. But yet I'm sitting here in this prison thinking about how it's my fault that two girls that I loved were murdered because of me. But really, it was John. Like, man, that's heavy. Like,
that's real heavy.
On May 28th, 2004, they went to trial. Mark pleaded guilty to attempt of murder, and John pleaded guilty to basically trying to murder himself. And the judge's quote, when passing his judgment, said, "Skilled writers of fiction would struggle to conjure up a plot such as this."
I agree, man.
It is staggering to be dealing with a case that arises out of 14-year-old boys, an invention of false personalities, false relationships. So they got probation. They didn't get any jail time because the judge is pretty sure that they were not going to reoffend. They were not allowed to. They were not allowed to speak to each other ever again. They were not allowed to go into chat rooms for 3 years. Not that Mark would do that, or would he? Question mark.
I feel like he would.
And in the late 2003, after this happened, MSN debanned their chat rooms and disbanded all their chat rooms completely because of increasing levels of inappropriate communications.
Wowza. What a ride.
Yep.
You know, John could have had such a bright future as like a novelist or like a screenwriter or something with his freaking imagination. But no, that's what he decided to put his storytelling abilities to use.
Which I feel like, you were in the chat rooms, you guys were friends. Like, I don't understand why he had to go that far. Like, because if you're in the chat room, everybody's there anyway, so you're really still hanging out. Like, unless he was just jealous when he met girls that he would talk privately. But I thought you could have multiple windows open, so you could still talk to John and still talk to, quotation mark with my fingers, Rachel.
Right. I guess maybe John just like maybe John like secretly was like in love with Mark, and then he was jealous because he wanted like Mark to be in love with him, but he knew he couldn't because he's a guy. So maybe he like created all these, but then it just got, it's one thing like a regular like catfish episode to like just pretend you're like the opposite gender to like talk to somebody, but like John took it to a whole flipping crazy next level, like with all the Secret Service stuff, the murderings, the trying to have him kill himself, well, have Mark kill him. It's just like so wild.
And it's like, how many Secret Service people are hanging out in a high school chat room? And yet you happen to run into two of them, which one was a junior and then one was a senior.
Like, I feel so horrible for Mark, but also, like, he was just way too naive. Not the sharpest tool in the toolbox there.
I feel like, I mean, and even if you would have bought that, but I personally feel like I would have started questioning stuff when I was invited to meet the queen to go down into the ocean to find $568 billion worth of jewels, because Queen Elizabeth is the only person that knows about it. Like, then how do you know about it? And why is some high school kid out of the UK being...
Yeah, literally when you got to that point, that's when I, like I said, I've lost all hope for Mark there. Because it's like, really? That you're believing this?
That's why Princess Diana was really murdered. She found out about the jewels.
I mean, it had to be that.
She got caught trying to use the code.
I wonder if John ever went down and got all that treasure for the queen.
Oh my gosh.
What an insane, entertaining story.
I thought this one would be like a little bit of a light one for all the stuff we've been talking about lately.
Yeah, no, I freaking love it. Nobody was killed, so that was a positive. John lived. Hopefully he's getting the mental help that he needs. Same with Mark, I'm sure. Or hopefully they got it, because this was a long time ago, but... Man, I'd like love to talk to both of them today and be like, so what was that like? It was pretty entertaining from this side of the story.
I know, right? Good. Well, we don't even know their real names to even do an update story.
Honestly, that's probably so great for them, because how embarrassing.
Yeah. Could you imagine though, like Mark's kid? Like if you ever found out. Like, oh my God. Like, especially today's age with these computers, you'd be like, dude, my dad was so dumb.
Literally, I'd be like, how embarrassing. I can't even believe I'm like related to you.
Oh my God.
No offense. It's very sad, but everything turned out fine and is just a lesson to be learned. But
I like how their punishment is you guys are grounded from each other permanently.
That literally, you need to just not interact at all ever again.
Oh my gosh, like it's just like no big deal.
So great. Great pick, Lo. I loved it.
Thanks. I figured you'd get a chuckle out of it.
Oh yeah, that was great. Guys, moral of the story is, if someone in a private chat room is claiming to be in a Secret Service correspondence and they want you to do some ridiculous thing, and you're kind of like, this sounds kind of off, trust your gut.
I mean, we've all been there. When I was in the chat rooms, I used to try to convince people that I looked just like Britney Spears. I did not look like Britney Spears, but I would tell people that.
Okay, but that's more like believable and like, you know, not as effed up. John just took it to a whole nother level. He's very creative.
Yes.
We'll give him that. Oh, yay.
Do chat rooms even still exist? Do people still do that?
Probably. I haven't gone in them, but I'm sure there's some sites out there.
I mean, I have no desire to look, but
No, I'm too scared. Too scared.
I'd be the 40-year-old in all caps. I am married. I'm over 40, but I'm still hot.
Right.
Oh my God. My luck, it ended up being like one of my kids' high school friends.
Be like, is this your mom? So good, so good. I'm sure there's more regulations out there on those chat rooms than there used to be, or at least I hope so.
Well, I mean, now I feel like people just go to, they just catfish through Snapchat and Instagram, and life is just so much easier now. You can do it anywhere.
It really is. That's why the show Catfish is still on air after like, I don't know, 15 years, because there's just so many
It's still
stories.
going.
Yep, there's just so many endless amount of stories.
Oh my gosh.
None quite like this though. I feel like they really should do an episode on this.
Well, they probably can't because of minors.
Oh, that's true. And it happened a long time ago.
Guess my little Lola butts. Hi.
Our audience member.
Yeah. Little Lolalitas. Name's Lola, but I call her everything but.
That's how it is with all pets, you know? They have 8 million nicknames.
Okay, well, I can't wait to hear what Crystal's gonna bring next week.
Gosh, I have to freaking top yours. That was
I'm sure she will. We should see, we should take a day and have you come over. And we should go back and listen to some of the old ones, see if we can figure out any updates on some of our Thanksgiving blunders, or are they still in prison?
Oh my gosh, right? I know, 'cause Thanksgiving's gonna be before we know it. We had.
Your classic Thanksgiving story still sticks with me.
Oh my gosh. We had some good Thanksgiving stories,
Was
like
it
a
Omaima?
blessed. Yep.
Omaim?
Yeah, she was definitely a one to not forget.
Yep.
Yeah, I would love to see where she's at right now.
Probably still in prison, hopefully.
Probably, yeah. You never know, though.
Yep. Okay, well, I am going to go crawl into bed and get comfy and sink into some more Emily and Paulus.
Beautiful. I love that. I know I need to get back on that.
Wee wee.
I'm probably going to guzzle some NyQuil and also sink into bed and probably immediately pass out.
Oh my God, real quick before I go, I'll share this story with our friends and creepies because it just reminded me of language barrier. So my friend that I recently met, she's from Turkey and she speaks English, but she's got the accent, right? And I'm at her house and we're talking and she asked me if I was going to vote. And I said, vote? She's like, yeah, you going to vote? And she's like, we OTE. And I'm like, we OTE. And I'm like, what? She's like, we OTE. I was like, I don't know what you're asking me. And I'm laughing. And she's like, we OTE. I was like, oh, vote. VOTE. And she's like, yes. And she can't say V's the way we do in English.
That's so funny.
And I felt like the biggest ass because I didn't know what she was saying. And then I was like, yes, I will be voting. I told my husband about it. He's like, you are just amazing. I said, I know. I was like, oh my God, I'm surprised she didn't be like, just get out of my kitchen.
Hey, we've all been there.
Yeah, she's such a sweet woman. I do enjoy talking to her, but yeah.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. We're well intentioned, but sometimes it just takes a minute.
It takes me an extra minute. I get there. It just takes me a second. So
I feel that. That's funny.
So that was fun. But okay, well, on that note, I feel like we got to go.
We got to go. Stay creepy.
Bye.
Bye.